Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a new topic for you today, and it's really interesting, and I actually somewhat indulge it on my part because it's something on my mind with three little ones who are in line to go to college. And we're going to be talking with Lynette Cox. She is CEO of The Money Coach. She's written a couple of books here that I'm holding in my hand, which are just fantastic. College Secrets, How to Save Money, Cut College Costs, and Graduate Debt-Free, which I'm definitely going to hope for. And College Secrets for Teens, Money-Saving Ideas for the Pre-College Years. Lynette comes to us with quite the pedigree and background. She's had The Money Coach. The website is moneycoach.net. She's done a lot of coaching. She's very passionate about financial literacy, workshops, seminars, books, on-air appearances. She's been on just about every show I've heard of, TV programs including Oprah, The Talk, Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, The Steve Harvey Show, The Today Show. And she, before launching The Money Coach, she was a Wall Street Journal reporter and has just been all over the map. And I tell you what, it's a real honor to have Lynette on the program. Lynette, welcome.
Thank you for having me on the show, David. Appreciate it.
You are very welcome, and it is a privilege. I appreciate your taking time, and I know your schedule is very busy. It is, I have to confess, a bit indulgent. I have a 10, 11, and 13-year-old. college cost is on my mind. I am working very hard to put money aside for them. And so when I saw the opportunity to have you on, and of course, having heard your reputation, I said, fantastic, let's get Lynette on and get her insight. And these books are available, of course, I'm sure, on your website and also on other online and regular brick and mortar stores. What got you thinking about this subject? I know that your website and your organization, you know, you're really a financial education company. What got you interested in this one particular area? Because I know that you've got so many things that you are focused on.
Right. Well, you know, I am kind of a personal finance geek in general. I love to talk about all things money related, but I must confess that I'm like you, I've got three kids as well. And so that was really the impetus and the drive for
me. Okay.
I spent about 2 years researching and writing the College Secrets series. And my oldest is actually 17.
All right.
She's a senior in high school, so she's just gotten four acceptance letters so far. We're waiting to hear from four more schools.
Wow.
I'm hoping she'll be batting 8 for 8 and give us a lot of options.
Good.
But then I also have a 15-year-old son who's a freshman in high school, and then we have a 9-year-old daughter who's a third grader. So I've got college on the brain just like you do, and really just as a mom. That was the sort of driving force for me. So, you know, obviously what I do professionally as well gave me a lot of encouragement and drive to want to get this series out there. But so many parents, they're in the same boat that you and I are, David.
Right, right.
They're looking at college costs. They're seeing the rising rate of student loan debt in America.
Sure.
I mean, we've got over $1.2 trillion in student loan debt outstanding. And I don't want my kids to have student loans. So I really approached this project from the standpoint of, you know, not just a financial expert, but also as a mom who said, I want to be able to pass along to other parents some of the tips, tricks, and ideas that I learned and some of the strategies that can help us all to do the right thing, put our kids through college, and yes, even graduate, help them to graduate debt-free, because a lot of that debt might come back on us if we don't.
So. Amen to that. Well, you know, Lynette, I remember my parents making a you know, and they made a lot of sacrifices, and I still thank them for it to this day, that when I graduated college, I did not have debt. And that was, you know, it was kind of a 50-50 deal. Part of it came from, you know, my having applied for scholarships and getting some. Also, you know, making some smart choices with the schools that I attended. And also, they made a big contribution. They supported me. And they worked very hard to help make that happen. And when I emerged from college, you know, I was able to hit the ground running, so to speak, without baggage or that ball and chain of that trillion-dollar debt that's out there. And I just think that there's so many good things like what you've done with your books of helping people approach this the right way. And one of the first things I picked up on, and the message from you, and I'd love to hear you talk about it, is not to fall in love, you know, make it multiple applications like you've done with your child, and don't fall in love with the first school or a particular school, because there's lots of options, and maybe the first choice might not be the best choice.
Right. You know, I think a lot of Americans don't really realize that there are over 2,500 four-year schools, nonprofit schools in America, many, many, many of which are really fantastic schools. And you have to try to find the right fit for your child. And when I talk about fit in College Secrets, I talk about the right academic fit in terms of the level of preparation that your child has and the academic rigor at a particular school.
Right.
The social fit,
yeah,
where they're going to feel comfortable and at home, where they can find a place for themselves and sort of readily see themselves as part of the student body. And then the right financial fit, because honestly, it's one thing for a kid to fall in love with a school and say, oh, this is my quote-unquote dream campus.
Right, right.
But it's another thing for that school to love them back. and really, the way that they demonstrate that love is by saying, wow, we really want this particular student.
Mm.
We can see him or her on our campus. And the way, again, that they demonstrate that is by financial assistance.
Show me the love, show me the money.
Exactly. So part of it is knowing, you know, where you fit into the mix. So you mentioned scholarships, for example, and I tell parents that you have to see where your child is in sort of the top 25% or so of students going into a school if you want to get the most potential institutional aid.
That's great.
The most scholarship money. But even if your kid isn't, say, in the top third academically, there may be other talents, traits, skills, abilities, assets that a kid brings to the table that a school would want them. Maybe they're musically gifted. Maybe they're athletically inclined. Maybe they have a great humanitarian bent and they're just like the world's sort of biggest, you know, volunteer or community worker. Maybe they come from a specific geographic part of the country and the school wants to increase diversity in that way.
Okay, that's good.
So, you know, these are all things to keep in mind when you're trying to target the right school and find the right fit.
Well, what I love about your message, Lynette, is that, and I know you've really espoused it in a lot of detail in your books, is you know, just don't jump the gun and don't fixate right off the bat that this is the only school. You know, here in Florida, you know, we've got a few schools with football teams.
Okay? Oh, yes.
And people get a little riled up, and they, you know, they're wearing that jersey even before they're going off to college, and they get fixated on that. And, you know, I think that they got to step back from it. You know, now, me personally, I went to one of those, you know, boring schools that didn't have a college football team. University of North Florida, they were weird. They focused on academics.
No figure, right?
I'm teasing. But the point is, I love your message that, you know, and I hadn't even... This is why there's so much to learn. It's why I love that you wrote the books, because even being a financial planner, I didn't even think of what you just said, Lynette. I know that's just a tip of the iceberg in what you've written, is to where your student is in that school, the top, like you said, the top 25. I didn't even thought of that.
Yeah. You know, the other thing about the whole concept around school spirit and the drive to be among, you know, like-minded peers, perhaps some of your friends who might have come from your high school, if everybody's going to, say, XYZ school,
mm-hmm.
I certainly understand that. But really, as parents, part of our duty is to be, you know, a guiding force for our children, right? Is to help them to explore their options. And in-state schools can be great, but there may be some out-of-state options that are just as fine. There may be campuses that aren't as well known, like you said, campuses that don't necessarily have a big football team, et cetera.
Right.
And students will make decisions on the wildest of things. And I'll tell you, with my oldest daughter, we went all around the country and visited many schools. And I was shocked at some things that, you know, she was drawn to, and then other things that sort of turned her off. The slightest, least little crazy things. So you got to see how kids will respond to, oh, this is a nice tour guide on campus. Oh, this is a good school for me. Or wow, they have a great football team. And, you know, the kid doesn't play football, doesn't even watch sports as much.
Right.
You know, it's not like you're going to be on the team. So again, as parents, we have to sort of guide them to keep their eyes on the prize and to focus on the most important aspects, which are things like, does it have the program that you want to study or the academic side of things? If you're, for example, interested in study abroad, what are the options for that?
Yeah.
Are there opportunities for mentorship or research What is the graduation rate like? How well will they do in helping you to land internships or jobs? Those kinds of things, which are far more important than, you know, the school mascot or, you know, or how cute the guys are at the school or how cute the girls are. But a lot of teenagers will factor those things in a way that's probably much higher and stronger than most of us parents might think. So.
Well, you got a good point there, Lynette, and I think that that's why this is so important to get out in front on it. And you're right, it's the little things, but there's so much more that not only parents and the teens need to be thinking about. If you're just joining us, Lynette is a personal financial expert, television and radio personality, author of 12 books, including the New York Times bestseller, Zero Debt, The Ultimate Guide to Financial Freedom. She's written two more, all about college with her own experience and of course, the resources of themoneycoach.net. The books are College Secrets, How to Save Money, Cut College Costs, and Graduate Debt-Free. And then for the teens, Money-Saving Ideas for the Pre-College Years. We'll grab a quick break. We'll be right back with Lynette.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information.
All right, we are back with Lynette Cox on the line with us talking about College Secrets. Two books and the website, themoneycoach.net. Great stuff, and I've got to get to this, Lynette, because I know that this is, again, you already hit me with one, that you know where your child or student kind of fits in with the school and looking for opportunities from that, some of that financial break we might get by being the right match. One of the other things that really struck me in what you've done with your books is there's a lot of hidden costs that parents and let alone the kids just don't know. And you actually talk about there being like 22 different hidden costs. So give us a couple of examples of some of these hidden costs that parents and students don't know about.
Right. Well, there's a ton of hidden expenses when you start attending colleges all across the country, and this is true for, you know, private schools, public schools, liberal arts colleges, major research universities. I outline, as you mentioned, you know, two chapters worth of hidden expenses. And, it ranges from everything from parking fees, which are just ridiculous nowadays, to so-called one-time fees that seem to get, you know, repeated over and over again. Tuition surcharges are big revenue generators right now for a lot of schools. So, you know, let's just break a couple of these down real quick.
Sure.
Parking. You know, a lot of us parents might say, oh, my son just graduated from school. My daughter just graduated from high school. I'm going to get him a new car. I'm telling parents, oh, rethink that. Or at least rethink letting them take the car to campus.
Right.
Because right now, you know, if your kid has a car on campus, expect to shell out about $500 to as much as $1,000 a year just to park on campus.
Wow.
So the National Parking Association says that the typical college in America generates about $4 to $5 million a year just in annual, you know, parking fee revenues. So that's, it works out to be about $635 per space. So that's one hidden cost. Tuition surcharges that I mentioned are another. So when you look online, for example, and you see the tuition price for, you know, any given school, a state school, a private school, an out-of-state school, okay, you might see, say, you know, $25,000, $16,000. Well, that might be true if your kid is going to be, say, a history major, an English major, but if your student is going to major in a whole host of other areas, say, engineering, maybe film studies, photography, anything nursing or on the medical side, you're going to pay thousands of dollars more in tuition, and that's something called a tuition differential, or it's a tuition surcharge.
Nice.
It's a hidden fee that a lot of parents don't realize. And then I mentioned one-time fees. So they get you with these one-time fees, you know, coming and going. So, you know, a new student fee, an orientation fee, a graduation fee, you know.
Oh, yeah,
so,
and there's even the mafia protection money now, too. I mean, good grief. I mean, the list goes
up.
On and on. Well, I think that it's easy to overlook all that, and It just adds up.
It really does.
And you stack that on top of the tuition, which is a whole other subject of in-state versus out-of-state. Are there things we can do to be really proactive about ways to cut those costs? I mean, it just seems to be out of sight.
It really is. You know, one thing I tell parents is that just right off the top, you have to sort of adopt the mindset that there is a way to pay less, and in many cases, there's actually a way to pay nothing at all. So some parents just automatically think that, okay, I've gotten this bill in black and white, or here's the number that they're saying. This is sort of gospel. And no, it's actually not the case. There are literally hundreds of ways, and I outline them in College Secrets, that you can lower every single college expense. I think I'm going to issue a dare. And somebody said, are you sure you want to do this, Lynette? Because I feel so confident about what I've outlined in College Secrets in terms of the money-saving strategies, so many hundreds of them, the dare is going to be, can somebody tell me if there's an expense that I haven't covered in this book and that I haven't given you a way to either eliminate that cost or to greatly reduce it? Maybe I'll issue a challenge and I'm sure somebody's going to call me on it one day and say, I thought of an expense you didn't include. But just, you mentioned the tuition. So, you know, for example, I talk about 16 tuition busting strategies that everybody should know. And then I outline some other strategies. If your kid is going to go out of state, here's some more tricks for you if they're going to go out of state. But just let me just tell your audience just quickly a couple of them. Find out about tuition waivers. I mean, those are great. If you're staying in-state, of course, you're going to take advantage of the in-state bargain, but you could go to fixed-price colleges. You could consider a no-tuition college. You can negotiate a tuition discount. A lot of people don't know this.
Well, that's actually what I wanted to get to, Lynette. Perfect. You know, one of the things that I very often, you know, think about when it comes to subjects like this is there's so many places in our life where negotiation and not just paying, like, for example, buying a car. You know, you don't go in and say, okay, oh, there's a sticker price. All right, can I write you a check for that?
Exactly.
And so why do we accept that? And obviously you're not. But why does the public in general accept the sticker price?
It's because of two reasons, I believe. One is they don't know any better. They don't realize that a lot of these things are negotiable. And then two, it's part of the American dream. Mm. You know, so many of us are wrapped up in the fact that, oh, my kid is at XYZ school, or he got into this Ivy League school.
Okay.
And part of the American dream is like, You get a nice house, you get a degree, you move ahead, we all want the best for our kids. So parents are willing to sacrifice, and sometimes at insane levels. I mean, tapping their 401k,
sure,
maxing out the credit cards, not contributing to their retirement plans, a whole host of things in order to sacrifice for the next generation. And I get it, the mindset of wanting to let your kid do better than you did. But, you know, this whole idea about tuition discounting, for example, is essentially when you get a school to give your kid some kind of a break on the tuition via institutional aid or a merit-based scholarship. And frankly, it's routine. Parents just don't know this. Colleges and universities will routinely knock off 40, 45%, 50% of the sticker price by granting you this additional institutional aid.
Wow.
So, again, you want to position your kid to be in the best place to be in line to get the money. you certainly want to apply for federal aid if you qualify. Not even if you qualify for it. You always want to apply for aid. And frankly, we're in FAFSA season right now, you know, the free application for federal student aid. Every parent should be filling that out if they haven't already, regardless of your income, because if you don't, your kid might be academically eligible for certain merit-based aid, but filling out the FAFSA is often a requirement to receive the institutional aid. So even if you don't qualify for need-based aid, you could get merit-based aid for your kid just by filling out the FAFSA.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's all good stuff, because there's so many costs, so many ways that we have to pay, that if we can find some ways to save, and I love the fact that there's some negotiation room. Let's grab another quick break. We come back with Lynette Cox. We'll talk about some of the other things that we don't necessarily think about, like ways to save on room and board and on books and supplies. Come right back. Here we go.
Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
All right, we're back. Lynette Cox on the line with us, themoneycoach.net. The books, College Secrets, How to Save Money, Cut College Costs, and Graduate Debt-Free. And for the teens, College Secrets for Teens, money-saving ideas for the pre-college years. It's great stuff. Happy to have Lynette on the line. And I wanted to get to a couple more other areas, Lynette, that I know are on your list. And I mean, there's so many things we can talk about today, but you've got room and board, you've got money you could potentially save on books and supplies. You know, let's touch on those and then maybe some general tips for students on how to manage your money wisely.
Sure. Well, let's talk about the books first.
Okay.
You know, the average student's going to spend about $1,200 over the course of the academic year for books and supplies. That's a big chunk of change.
That's a lot of money.
It comes out of the parents'
pockets. Oh, yeah.
So a number of things you can do. One, you can buy an older version of a book. You can buy the e-book version. You can see if the professor will put a particular textbook on reserve in the library. Students forget about this. The library is a great resource. The book may just be in the library, free, and you can just use it throughout the year. But one tip that I know a lot of students and their parents don't know is about getting the international version of a book. And here's what it is. Yeah, in a nutshell, the international version of any, you know, academic textbook that you might buy in the U.S. is the exact same material and information. It just differs in two ways. One, instead of being a hardback, it'll be a paperback book. And then two, it usually won't be printed in color. So, you know, there might be some illustrations or some, you know, color background printing in the U.S. version, the normal version, but in the international version, it'll just be in black and white. But I'll tell you, it's an enormous money saver. Typical, you know, college textbook, the U.S. version, about $130. The international version, just $30.
Wow, okay, so, that's good.
So get those books, get the international version. You mentioned room and board.
Yes.
One of the best things you can do there is to try not to let your kid upgrade their lifestyle. I'm serious, you know. Some kids are like, woohoo, I want Party Central. They want the
right,
sort of over-the-top places to live, or if they want to live in a dorm in an apartment, they want to be completely solo and live by themselves or have their own unit. Well, listen, you're going to save a lot more money if your kid is willing to have a roommate. There's nothing wrong with having a roommate. Some kids are going to have not just doubles. Some kids will have triples or quads.
Sure.
I get it. They might not want four people in a room, maybe not even three people, but just one roommate, that's going to shrink your cost considerably. As your kid gets older, certainly after, when they're in the middle of their sophomore year on, schools will usually let those students also apply to be RAs, you know, a resident assistant or a resident advisor.
Right.
And they can usually get room and board free.
Right.
So, you know, just, again, don't just think that, okay, here's the cost. It's $8,000 for the year, and we have to come out of this, you know, out of pocket for this money. No, you can be creative. There's even housing scholarships in particular that you can apply for. So look into all of those options as well.
That's great advice, Lynette. I think that just keep this stuff top of mind. And just in general, you mentioned some of these lifestyle. There's some lifestyle choices that of course, and I know you talk about this in the College Secrets books. There's some choices they can make. You know, like, well, for example, let's just use credit cards. Talk about credit cards and how students use those. Should they have a credit card in their name? Do something where the parent gives them a card on their account. They set like some sort of preset spending limit. What are some ideas there to really keep credit cards under control?
I tell students and parents to be very cautious about taking on credit card debt, of course, while you're in school, and just using credit cards in general. You know, some kids, frankly, just aren't ready. So they might do better off with a debit card as opposed to a credit card. They might even do better with a secured card where essentially, you know, the parent or the student might put up a certain amount on deposit with the bank, say $500. And then that $500 becomes the credit card limit. They can also become an authorized user of a parent's card. And frankly, a lot more parents are taking this option just because, you know, we had credit card reform several years ago, and now federal law restricts credit card marketing on campuses. You know, when I went to school back in years ago, I was a freshman at the University of California, Irvine, and I distinctly remember I walked into my dorm room, and there was no furnishings. You know, the bed was there, but no sheets on the bed, nothing, except there were a ton of credit card applications. And I did, like a lot of kids did, I promptly got into debt. I was like, oh, I'm 18, I'm an adult now, I can get my own credit card. Well, you know, it was a poor choice for me because I had not yet acquired any credit and debt management skills. So if a parent decides to make a child an authorized user on the parent's card, you can establish some guidelines and say, you only use this for emergencies, or you only use this for, you know, certain types of purchases, not for the daily pizza runs or for, you know,
exactly,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you really do have to talk to your child and start to help them to learn how to budget and spend wisely, you know, preferably before they go off to school. And, you know, even beyond just the credit card spending and things of that nature, there's other sort of, you know, lifestyle things that you have to take into account. And since you mentioned it, electronics are just such a big thing for kids these days.
Sure.
I mean, they've got MP3 players, they've got their smartphones, their devices, they want a new flat screen TV. And, you know, if you just let it get out of hand, it really will skyrocket. And then parents start trying to furnish these dorm rooms and, you know, sort of outfit them with the latest stuff. And, you know, a lot can be spent on electronics. And just, you know, if your kid is a techie, you know, okay, fine. But does it have to be, you know, again, just the latest Apple iPad or just the new, yet another iPhone 6 or wherever we are now?
Right.
I show in College Secrets the sort of a $38 tablet that is all the rage. And I bet you they've never heard of it before, but it's a brand new tablet. It's not a Mac product, but a lot of kids actually love it, and the parents do too because of the low price. So,
well,
it's,
I tell you what,
a matter of knowing.
Yeah, and these kinds of things are just so essential to be top of mind and thinking through, and I really applaud you for putting the two books together. I can tell you that I'm going to read them. My wife's going to read them. The first one in line is going to read the one for teens, and we're going to embrace this. College Secrets, How to Save Money, Cut College Costs, and Graduate Debt-Free. And then for the kids, College Secrets for Teens, Money-Saving Ideas for the Pre-College Years. Lynette Cox has been our guest, CEO of The Money Coach, and the website is moneycoach.net. Lynette, we will have you back for another show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Appreciate you having me on.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.